Blog Talk Radio.
New direct.
Hey, good evening, podcast audience. This is Ken Hodge, branch president, Columbus, Ohio. And as always, I've got my personal injury compensation guru with me, Mr. Robert Frost. Every week we get together and we try to share injury compensation on a federal level to all those who will listen. It is a benefit to us that you listen to the podcast and you allow yourself to be exposed to what should happen should you become injured at work and you're a federal or quasi-federal employee. Tonight we're going to talk to you a little bit on the CA2. And let me say this to you again. When you talk injury compensation, as vast a subject as it is, there are certain nuances that tend to repeat itself in the line of work that we're in. And those nuances are going to be your CA1, CA2, CA2A, and a few other CA forms. So the only reason I say that is repetition is part of what we do. So I don't want you to think we're absent-minded and say, you know, you just had a show on CA2s a month ago. Well, we're going to try to keep this information ever present so you always have a ready reference. Let's talk about the CA2. But first, how you doing tonight, Robert?
I'm doing well, Ken. A little tired, but that's to be expected.
Okay. And let me say to the podcast audience, these are not official positions that we hold. Nobody pays us to do what we do. I recognize it was something that I thought should be part of the union package. But again, it's not. But it doesn't stop those of us in the union to do outside work, or in other words, a little something extra for our members. And when I say our members, that's all postal employees in this case. So here we go. The CA2. The CA2 is a occupational disease and illness claim. Now, occupational disease or illness is a medical condition produced in the work environment over a period longer than a single workday or shift by such factors as systemic infections, continued or repeated stress or strain, or exposure to hazardous elements such as, but not limited to, toxins, poisons, fumes, noise, particles, radiation, or other continued or repeated conditions or factors of the work environment. A claim based on occupational illness is filed with OWCP on a form CA2. Now, before we get into that form, I just want to say, I want to make known something that I've been advised twice this week. It appears in Columbus, Ohio, for whatever reason, management is flat out refusing to accept CA2s from employees. Now, I'm going to say that again. Columbus, Ohio management, as being reported to me, is flat out refusing to receive a CA form from employees. And I'm going to tell you something. Any employee in Columbus, Ohio, who a supervisor will not receive, your CA1 or CA2, if I were you, I would contact the Department of Labor immediately. Now, you can call your union if you want to. That's another avenue you have. But if you have management refusing to accept your claim form, then you want to contact the Department of Labor immediately. Now, if you are one of those employees who just likes to suffer in silence, then you enjoy that. I'm not going to take that from you. But if you're an employee who wants access and results, then you might want to contact the Department of Labor, because you have to understand, on a CA2, that is not the Postal Service's determination or final decision if that claim is going to be accepted. So again, they are way outside of their lane telling employees you can't file. They're way outside of their lane not accepting. So I say to all employees, if you are turning in a CA form to your supervisor and your supervisor refuses to accept the form, please contact the Department of Labor, and then you can contact a host of other individuals at your discretion. So with that CA2, we're talking about I've injured myself over a period of time, from me driving a long walkie rider every day, particularly the type that don't have the power steering, where I have to actually lean into that piece of equipment in order to make a turn. After some time, listen to me very carefully, that's going to be an issue. And the CA2 is already in play for all those drivers who are going to feel that in their lower back in about a year or so.
But again, knees.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Or their knees, because when you're pushing into that, you're using your knees.
That's correct. But I want to make it known that because you do this day in, day out, you have that type of repetitive motion. You have that kind of strain, as per definition, in the CA2, being placed on the same part of your body over and over again. You don't have to feel as though you're robbing the service or you're doing an injustice to anyone because you're filing a form based on work that you've been doing. And again, every day I want to dispel or help that myth disappear that a CA2, somehow employees think they're not being honest with their employer. And nothing could be further from the truth. But I will say to you, when it comes to the CA2 form, getting that form approved is a little harder or a little tougher than getting a CA1 approved. But we do know that if you are persistent and stay on top of your injury or your rights that are not being afforded to you, if you're persistent, we can get a CA2 approved. I say like what pastors say in church. Can I get a witness? So again, and we're going to hear from Cole in a second, maybe. But I want you to understand, Rob and I are here trying to guide this train so that we keep it on track, so employees are always aware of their rights and benefits. The employee, just like we had in this particular case, you have to want this more than Rob and I want this for you. You have to want it for yourself more than Rob and I want this for you, because it will make you stay tenacious as you continue to find out where you are. And again, I feel as though my claim personally has been accepted this week, just knowing that we have an employee who submitted her CA2 based on, again, the same allegations she's been making forever, and her CA2 was accepted this week. So, again, it's a testimony to we can make the process work. It's also a testimony, and I'm sure she'll tell you, you have to stay on top of it. You can't allow you to get sidetracked and not follow up on benefits that you should be receiving. So before I go any further, I just want to welcome that caller on and see if that caller might have a word or two to say.
I just want to talk about the CA too. I'm previously at the post office. I'm on light duty for injury. While in this injury, I had to get some testing. When the testing came back, the testing stated that this and that was wrong, but it also stated that something else was wrong that was an occupational disease. This was my main issue at this time. So it was really tough to go try to let them know that I had this issue. You know, it was bothering me, though. It was hurting, you know. I know that I didn't do this to myself. So when I told them that I needed the form, they asked me why. I told them because my arm was hurting. And they said, well, they're not going to approve me. I said, well, they're going to have to approve me because I'm sitting here doing this work and this happened at work. With that being said, I didn't want to go further, but I did. I had to stay on them, too. I went and got the CA2. I didn't know what I was doing. I asked them a lot of questions. I got it to them. They ran me around for 2 days. I went to the MDO's office. I went to the supervisor office. And I had that number within, like, 3 days of the injury. And that's only because I was very persistent because I'm hurt. I didn't do this to myself. And I wasn't going to foot a bill. I wasn't going to pay a bill that I really could pay. And that's exactly why I did it.
And I'm glad you did it. I really am, because sometimes when we're putting information out, it's always good to know that something that you put out, you know, it comes back as per the way it was put out. So therefore, because you were very persistent on making sure your claim got recognized, it lets Rob and I know that this can work. And once you see the process work, you can immerse yourself more in the process. But now, again, we're going to follow this because now I'm in uncharted water. Okay. I'm going to read and see what's supposed to happen once that CA2 is accepted. And then I'm going to be very tenacious with you to make sure it does happen.
Yeah, because it should be treated as of a new case claim. It should be COP. I'm taking a loss. Now I'm here and I got to take 66% of my pay. This still is an on-the-job injury.
See,
I went back to work because I had to go to work. That's not fair. I lose-lose. You lose sick leave. You lose money. It's a lose-lose. So it's only fair that they do what they're supposed to do.
Well, once this show tonight is over, I'll be talking with some resident experts. And trust me, we're about to find out how this actually works once your CA2 is accepted. Now, again, I know what the law says should happen. And my understanding is on a CA2 is I think that you lose the COP only because COP is extended 45 days from the date of injury. Now, because it's a CA2, we're past that date, so I think you lose the COP.
No, I'm not. My injury date is within that 45, within those days. It's 4 or 5 days. It's like 6 days fresh.
Okay.
So I don't understand how I lose. I don't understand how it's
a
lose because I have to come off the table.
Okay.
I have to. I can't do my everyday stuff too. It's not all about work. I have a life.
What's your date of injury?
I can't use this risk.
What's your date of injury on your CHU?
8/15. 8/15.
Then no, you're going to get your 45 days. I'm sorry.
I'm
8/15.
That is my injury date. I have it in mail in my face with claim number.
Okay. 8/16 being your date of injury, I stand corrected. I thought we were talking about your other claim, but if 8/16 is your date of injury, you are within your 45 days, and yes, you should be eligible to continuation of pay should your doctor put you at work. Now, I'm going to confirm that before I go to bed tonight, just so we know.
Please. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely confirm that. But because your date of injury is 8/16, that CHU has accepted very quickly, and you're within your 45 days. So, yes, you should be on 45 days continuation of pay. Would you agree with that, Robert?
Yes, I believe so.
But I will find out.
Were you, if I remember correctly, you had an injury to your arm prior to that. Is that true?
Yes, sure did. I got hit by some equipment.
Okay. So that's what we'll have to check into to see. We'll have to check into to see which injury takes precedence for the COP. I believe you're still supposed to get it, but we do need to check.
Yeah. If they gave her an injury date of 8/16, that's the date of injury for the CHU to accept it, then you're going to get your 45 days continuation of pay.
I hope so.
Yeah.
Because if I don't, it's going to be sad.
Well, again, the whole Department of Labor exists. And again, one of the basic premises is if you get hurt at work, you should not have to suffer as a result of being hurt at work. So if you get hurt at work in the performance of your job, then the Department of Labor is there to make sure that you maintain your lifestyle while making sure you get proper rehabilitation so that you get back to your normal work style also. So, you know, you should not be a loser on that in any shape, form, or fashion. With the exception of, once we go past 45 days, then you no longer get 100% of your pay. What is it, 66 2/3, is that, Robert?
Yes.
66% single and 70-something is
single. Right, but that only takes place after your 45 days continuation of pay. And that's your entire check. That's not a percentage.
Okay,
so I'll get back with you on that. But again, when we talk about CA2s, a proper filing of the CA2 should include a detailed medical report from the employee's attending physician, dated and signed, containing the physician's date of examination and treatments, description of tests given, results of x-rays or other tests. You see, when we start that CA2, you want to see your doctor before you file a form. You see, as in a CA1, it's a traumatic injury. You're going to see, well, that CA1, a lot of cases, then you see the doctor. CA2 is no different, because if you go see your doctor first, and your doctor doesn't give you medical documentation to support your allegation that your injury is from a job-related condition, then you really have no basis to file a CA2. So that doctor's medical report is very important if you're going to file a CA2. And if one does not have a medical report saying that the job caused or aggravated the condition, one cannot win his or her claim. So for that reason, first get a medical report, then file the CA2. Remember, you only have 30 days from the date of the medical report to file the claim to be within your time limits. And if you're going to see a doctor in relation to a CA2, Well, as soon as you get your doctor's report, you want to make sure you get that CA2 filed immediately. And remember, the burden of proof on a CA2 lies on the employee, not the agent. In addition to the physician's medical report, a properly filed CA2 must also include a detailed signed statement by the employee describing in detail exactly what the employee does at work on a daily basis. See, now this is part of that CA2 filing that if you're not in touch with individuals who understand the CA2, you could be doing yourself a disservice. And what I mean by that is if you don't have that medical documentation from your doctor before you file, or you don't understand how important a factual employee statement is, you just prolong your claim even being looked at, never mind being accepted or rejected. Does that make sense? Okay.
You were breaking up a little bit there, so most of what I heard, yes, made sense.
Oh, well, my audio isn't good right now.
Yeah, your audio is bouncing.
Oh, wow. Okay. Didn't know that. Okay. But again, we'll follow up on the CA2 with the employee and office again, because I want to make sure I have a firm understanding of how Columbus is going to react to the CA2 being accepted. And again, we currently have about in Columbus, Ohio, about 4 or 5 CA2 pending. So it's important for me as one who tries to provide injury compensation guidance to follow this process to make sure that employees are getting what it is they are entitled to receive. So I'll be making sure I stay in touch with you to find out where we are in the process and make sure that the post office, because and let me say this to you, I can't remember the last time in Columbus that a CA2 was accepted. So therefore, I'm sorry, go ahead.
3 months ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was that accepted? Who was accepted?
Me, you're bouncing.
Who was that CA2 accepted for?
I'm trying to remember her name now. It was a lady.
Not
I don't have the paperwork with me. So, what's that?
Not Gladys, right? Okay,
I don't remember for sure.
My real question would be, did she get her 45 days continuation pay? What was her claim after? In other words, I want to follow this process so we can document and be in a position to better advise employees on what's going to take place once the CA2 is accepted. Because, see, now that we let employees know that you don't have to suffer because of extended illnesses you're experiencing from working in the post office. You know, the government has put in place a CA2 form to help you with that. So now that they understand that it's a real form, I'm pretty sure we should see more CA2s being filed in Columbus, Ohio. And I just want to make sure that we're in position to track it just a little easier.
May I interject something here, Ken?
Sure.
I'm sorry. What did you say, caller?
No, I'm saying it. The sound was in and out. It's clear now.
Okay. When you go get ready, when you ask your supervisor for a CA2 form, right, they cannot deny you the form. That's happened a couple of times also. right? If your supervisor denies you the CA2 form, come see me. I'll give you one.
And if you don't have a supervisor, because I was in a situation, I don't have a supervisor. We are in lack of supervisors at our post office. So it was a lot of, you know, asking people, them telling me no, and me getting to the MDO. So you got to go, you got to push a little harder.
And I want to say, even if you push to the MDO, there's probably only one, maybe two MDOs who understands entry compensation. So even if you push to the MDO, you still want to make sure you document those conversations, because most of them don't have a clue.
I was just blessed.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, as we make our way to an MBO, one would think that the fact that they are MBOs, that even if your SDO didn't know, they should know, that does not hold true in Columbus, Ohio. So all I can say to you is we want to make sure we get the word out about the Kenny and Rob Compensation Podcast. We want to make sure we get the word out about the Wednesday night Jeannie and Chris Facebook Injury Compensation Show. We want to get the word out about Elite Medical, because we have to get the word out to employees. And the word is, do not expect the agency to do the right thing when it comes to you being injured at work. Two, I don't really think they care like they should. And one, yeah, I know I put them in reverse order. I don't think they know. And I don't think they're interested in really finding out. So if you understand those two factors, number two and number one, you make it your business that you know, because you can't depend on the agency. But again, it just goes to show the Department of Labor is much bigger than the post office. And let me end this show tonight with it is becoming more and more prevalent in Columbus. Like you said, Rob, for employers, the agency, not wanting to give up requested forms, not wanting to accept completed OWCP forms. And again, you can come and see Rob and myself, and we'll guide you. Again, these forms are online. But more importantly, your supervisor, your management, it is part of their rights and duties as supervision that they must provide you these forms. It's not an option. But I say this to you. If you ask your supervisor for the form and they won't give it to you, or if you have the form and you go to turn it into your supervisor, and they won't accept it. Well, I'm going to say this here, and I am not joking. If you don't want me to contact the Department of Labor on your behalf, do not bring that issue to me. Don't come to me and tell me, hey, Ken, I'm trying to inform my supervisor won't accept it, or the supervisor knows nothing about entry compensation is trying to give me another. When you bring that form to me, because I've got years of Columbus management not going by protocol, I escalate. So if you don't want me to escalate it, don't bring it to me. That's kind of simple, right? And you know, I don't know where the agency gets that reasonness that they don't accept forms. You see, that's because they don't understand. That's because they still think they can accept or reject. I'm here to tell you, you don't have that authority. You can submit controverting information with the form. But whether that form is going to be accepted or rejected, Columbus, Ohio, you have no say-so on that. That's part of the labor. And when you understand that, maybe you'll do your job a little better. Hey, that's what I have today on our injury compensation podcast. Again, the CA2, it's not a makeup form. It's not a form that allows you to lie or cheat the government out of anything. It's a form designed to take care of you should you or if you sustain injury over a period of time in your work environment. With that being said, I want to say good night to the podcast audience. We'll be back next Tuesday night, and we'll probably talk about CA2, a little different from CA2. But I'm glad you got your CA2 accepted. Now we just have to follow up to make sure the agency understands that that is essentially a CA1 now. And I'll make sure.
It's a whole different claim
tonight.
Number.
I'm sorry, say it again.
It's a whole different claim number. It should be addressed as that.
Yes. Okay, so that's our podcast for tonight. And I'll be back in touch with you. I'll be back in touch with you tonight. We'll be back next Tuesday night on our podcast. Good night, Rob. Talk to you tomorrow.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, caller.
Mm-hmm. Good night.